illuminating facts, candid conversations, and some levity to lighten your day. This is the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.
A marvelous Monday to you. So happy that you're joining me today. It is July the 12th, in the year of our Lord 2021, and I am cracking open a fresh new week of shows for you. Hey, that was stereo. I don't know if you heard that. It was producer Lucas. What are we drinking today, Lucas?
Well, I've got my usual Diet Coke here, Cale.
Fantastic. Well, I guess I'm representing the dark side, Pepsi Zero Sugar. There we go. And these are free sponsorships, by the way. We should be at least getting them to donate to Relevant Radio. At any rate, so happy that you're with me. If you want to call in, 1-888-914-9149. 888-914-9149. We're going to try to caffeinate your Monday with us. Lots to talk about this week. Lots of exciting things going on in the world. You can also follow me on Twitter at Cale Clark, C-A-L-E, Clark with an E. At Cale Clark, the show account is at Cale Clark Show, and it's a good thing to follow that account too because we have lots of questions, lots of quizzes. You can get in on all kinds of action on that account too. And if you want to email the show, Cale, C-A-L-E, at relevantradio.com is the address. And that's a great one to use. If you have a question about the Catholic faith or something that you'd like us to talk about on air, please email the show account. We do monitor that. And we do pray for everybody who emails us. We can't always personally respond just because of the sheer volume of messages that we get, but we do read them all. We do pray for everybody, and we respond as much as we can. Cale at relevantradio.com. And I came across an incredibly poignant story over the weekend. I hope you all had a good weekend. But I wanted to share it with you because it was not only a story about superhuman pain, but it's also a story of otherworldly forgiveness, that strength that only can come from God. And the Catholic News Agency reported about a couple named Danny and Lila Abdallah, who were living in Australia, parents of six children. Tragically, three of their children died in a car accident. And let me tell you about what happened. Danny and Lila, by the way, they met in Lebanon, and the very first question that Danny asked Lila when they met was, "Do you pray? Do you pray?" And she said, "That was my sign from God that I'm supposed to marry this guy." And she was, of course, raised in a strong Catholic family, and they went on to have six children, and they now live in Australia. And Danny, here's what he has to say about his wife's faith. He says, "I always say that the biggest decision you make in your life is who you marry. And I know that a woman that loves and fears God will be with you in your darkest hour." And certainly they did experience their darkest hour not long ago. Their children's names: Anthony, Angelina, Leanna, Sienna, Alex, and Michael. And Danny Abdallah said, "We loved every minute, every second with our children, even when we were tired, even when we were exhausted. We loved them so much. I used to say to myself that my day begins when I get home from work, when I get home from work and I get to be with my wife and with my kids." But a terrible tragedy struck the family last year in February 2020. The family was out celebrating a birthday when Danny and Lila decided that they would let their kids, at least some of their kids, walk down the street to an ice cream shop. It sounds innocent enough. And at this family gathering, Lila's sister said to Danny, "Are you sure it's okay for them to walk to the store?" And he said, yeah, they're only going to be walking on the sidewalk. It's not a long journey. What could possibly happen? Well, a few minutes later, the unthinkable did happen. Danny and Lila received a phone call about an accident, and they rushed to check on their children. And Danny said later on, "What we saw was beyond our comprehension. When I saw them, I realized immediately I had to surrender everything to God." Lila said the scene of the accident was like a war zone. She said, "I started praying when everyone around me started screaming. My immediate response was, why would God do this to us? No, he can't take our kids. He can't take our kids. He wouldn't do this to us." And later on, they found out what exactly had happened. A 30-year-old driver who was under the influence of alcohol, cocaine, and other drugs lost control of his vehicle, drove over the sidewalk, and ran over the children. And Danny said when he came upon the accident scene, he said it was like in the movies when you have an out-of-body experience. Your soul, he felt like his soul left his body and was hovering over the top of the scene. He said that's how it felt. I was in shock. I just started to do whatever I could. He grabbed his daughter, Leanna, who was one of the victims. She was conscious, and she actually survived the accident. And he said, in my heart, I felt like I'd lost the other three kids at that moment. And they arrived at the hospital, and four priests actually had heard about this, and they came to meet with them and minister to the family. And they had to break the news to the parents that 13-year-old Anthony, 12-year-old Angelina, 9-year-old daughter Sienna, along with their niece Veronique, who was 11 years old, who had gone with the kids to the ice cream shop, they didn't survive the accident. And Lila just began screaming, no, no, they didn't die, they didn't die. But what an incredible tragedy. But what's perhaps even more incredible is that the Abdallahs did not harbor animosity towards the man who had killed their children. In fact, the driver was later sentenced to 21 years in prison in Australia. And here's what Danny, the father, said. He said, I feel sorry for him. I pray for him. The devil used him as a puppet. And Lila, the mother of the three children who passed away in that tragic accident, she publicly forgave the driver who killed her children. And she did this publicly in the media, and it shocked a lot of people that she would do this. Listen to her powerful words. This is a clip from EWTN News.
So forgiveness, it's something you practice all your life. Then eventually you can forgive on a bigger scale. And you forgive not because the others deserve to be forgiven. It's because you deserve to be at peace. And if Jesus can forgive me, then of course I can forgive the driver. If he died on the cross for me, then of course I can pray for that driver. Our Christianity, our faith got me to forgive him. Remember that if Jesus carried his cross, we are meant to carry our cross and follow him. And on this earth, while we're living, enjoy every moment, hug your family tight, kiss your kids, don't take anything for granted, because anything can change in a blink of an eye.
Those are incredible words, not only wise words, powerful words, but you can almost hear, I don't know if you could tell, you can almost hear the peace in her voice, supernatural peace, because really only the power of God would enable her to say those words and live those words out. I thought of a lot of what she said was so just on point. She said, forgiveness is something that you practice, something you practice all your life. And then eventually you can forgive on a bigger scale. That is very powerful, because if we're in an Olympic year, I mentioned this the other day, if we're going to win in the supernatural Olympics of faith, we need to train for it. We can't just show up on competition day and expect to get a gold medal when we're really put to the test. And so forgiving little offenses, forgiving as a practice, as a spiritual practice every day, prepares you for times when you're really tested and you have to forgive something very big. And I can't imagine anything worse than this. Someone who has recklessly killed your children, your innocent children. And she was able to forgive this driver. And she said, you forgive not because this person deserves forgiveness. It's because you deserve to be at peace. Often the person that is set free from forgiveness is you yourself when you do it. And she said, if Jesus can forgive me, then of course I can forgive the driver. If he died on the cross for me, I can pray for that driver. My faith got me to forgive him. When we think about the Lord's Prayer, we think about this command of Jesus to forgive those who have sinned against us. Forgive us our debts, forgive us our sins, even as we have forgiven our debtors, those who have sinned against us. And of course, we read this in the Gospels. What's interesting, too, about this is that this command of Jesus actually is in the Old Testament too. He wasn't the first to say this. Of course, as God, he's the originator of all this stuff. But in the book of Sirach in the Old Testament, the wisdom of the sage Ben Sira, it says this in Sirach 28, verse 2, "Forgive your neighbor the wrong he has done, and then your sins will be pardoned when you pray." And this is what Jesus says. A condition of our own sins being forgiven is that we are willing to forgive others. And this is what Lila did, Lila Abdallah and her husband Danny, when their children were killed, along with a cousin, by an impaired driver. But this, again, can only come about supernaturally. And I always think about the words of Pope Benedict XVI, writing as Joseph Ratzinger in his book, Jesus of Nazareth. And this is a book that he wrote under his Christian name, not his papal name, because he said, "This is my personal search for the face of Jesus." And here's what Joseph Ratzinger / Pope Benedict XVI, here's what he said about these words of Jesus in the Our Father. He says, "This fifth petition of the Our Father presupposes a world in which there is trespass." And we can't deny this, of course. We look around, as G.K. Chesterton once said, original sin is really the only doctrine you can prove just by walking down the street. Just look around. It's everywhere. Pick up the newspaper. Go onto the internet. Listen to the news. And Pope Benedict said, "This is a world in which there is trespass. Trespass of men in relation to other men. Trespass in relation to God. And every instance of trespass among men, among people, involves some kind of injury to the truth and to love." I thought that was an interesting insight, that every sin is a sin somehow against truth and or against love. And thus, he says, it's opposed to God, because God is truth, God is love. You're listening to The Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio. So how do we overcome guilt? How do we overcome sin? He says this is the central question for every human life. And the history of all religions revolves around this question. Guilt, because of sin, calls forth retaliation. And very often there's a chain of trespasses in which the evil of guilt grows and becomes more and more inescapable. And Pope Benedict says, "In this petition of the Our Father, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us," Jesus is telling us that the only way that we can overcome the guilt of sin is through forgiveness, not retaliation. God is a God who forgives because he loves his creatures, but forgiveness, he says, can only penetrate and become effective in one who is himself forgiving. And this is exactly what we saw with those parents of the slain children, Danny and Lila Abdallah. And of course, forgiveness, as Pope Benedict reminds us in Jesus of Nazareth, is throughout the entire gospel. It's at the very beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus talks about offering your gift at the altar. He says, if you're offering your gift at the altar and you happen to remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there and first be reconciled to your brother and then come and offer your gift. And of course, Jesus said that in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, verse 23. The concept is that you can't come into God's presence unless you are reconciled. You have to go out to meet him. You have to forgive this person. He has to forgive you. That's the prerequisite for worshiping God. And Pope Benedict reminds us that when we do this, we have to keep in mind that God himself, even though he knew that we were against him as human beings, we were unreconciled to him, we haven't even necessarily asked for forgiveness, Jesus stepped out of his divinity in order to come towards us, to reconcile us. We should recall that before giving us the Eucharist, the Pope says, he knelt down before his disciples and washed their dirty feet, cleansing them with his humble love. Don't forget, Judas was one of those whose feet the Lord washed. And of course, in Matthew's gospel, Jesus gives all kinds of parables about forgiveness. One of them is the parable of the unforgiving servant. That's in Matthew chapter 18. A very highly regarded servant of the king, and he has just been released from owing an unimaginably large sum, 10,000 talents. It's like a few million dollars, let's say. And he himself gets angry. He begs the king, oh, please forgive me this debt. And he goes, and immediately the king says, okay, you're forgiven. He lets him go. And this guy, the first thing he does is go after someone that he knows who owes him 10 bucks. And it wants to choke him out, and you're going to pay me or else. This is ridiculous. And so the Pope says, whatever we have to forgive one another, no matter what that may be, is trivial in comparison with the goodness of God who forgives us. And this is exactly what Jesus models for us on the cross. Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. So we need to understand what this petition in the Our Father is all about. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Jesus says, hey, the precondition for having your own sins forgiven is that you are willing to forgive others. And so forgiveness is not a matter of ignoring the facts. It's not a matter of closing your eyes and pretending these things didn't happen. As the Pope says, it's not merely trying to forget. You've got to work through it. You've got to work through this healing, and that's how you overcome it. And he says forgiveness exacts a price. First of all, from the person who forgives, he has to overcome within himself or herself the evil that was done to him or her. And so he must, as it were, burn this wrong interiorly. And that's how you renew yourself. And then you have to involve the other, the trespasser, the one who commits the crime against you, in this process of transformation. Now, sometimes these other people are not willing to be forgiven. Sometimes they're not even sorry. And this is why Lila Abdallah said this in her statement. She says, you forgive not because the others deserve to be forgiven. None of us do. It's because you deserve to be at peace. And Jesus does want us to have the peace that he alone can give. So this is the mystery of the cross. And but one thing we have to recognize is that, and I think this is what Lila recognized and her husband Danny, the Pope says we are absolutely limited in our power to heal and overcome evil. We cannot master evil on our own. And the Pope quotes a writer named Reinhold Schneider, who said that evil lives in 1,000 forms. It occupies the pinnacles of power. It bubbles up from the abyss. Love, on the contrary, evil has 1,000 forms, but love only has one form, your Son, Jesus Christ. So this is a powerful statement of Pope Benedict here. And in the book, he actually also, in Jesus of Nazareth, he quotes John Henry Cardinal Newman. And Cardinal Newman said that God could create the whole world out of nothing with just one word, but he could only overcome the guilt and suffering of people, really overcome sin, by bringing himself into play. That's an incredible thought, this idea that God could create the universe with just a word, could create all that is by just saying, let there be. But when it came to defeating sin, he had to bring himself into play. Cardinal Newman said, by becoming in his Son a sufferer who carried this burden and overcame it through his self-surrender. To overcome guilt, there is a price. We have to put our heart, or better, our whole existence on the line. And even this is insufficient. It can only become effective through communion with the one who bore the burdens of all. So this petition in the Lord's Prayer for forgiveness, it's not just a moral exhortation, according to Benedict. And it is at one level, and it challenges us every day, but it's a Christological prayer. And he says it reminds us of Jesus, who allowed forgiveness to cost him everything. It cost him descent into the hardship of human existence and death on the cross. In other words, he had to become incarnate and go through all that he went through in order for us to be forgiven, in order for us to be able to forgive others. So we have to be thankful for that. This is forgiveness would not be possible without the incarnation. And he said, we have to now with Jesus work through and suffer through evil by means of love. And he says, we have to acknowledge day by day how little our capacities suffice for that task. In other words, we can't do it of our own strength. And so this is the way. This is the way to give thanks to Jesus for what he has done in becoming incarnate, suffering and dying for our sins, and allowing him to give us the power to forgive. So some beautiful reflections there by Pope Benedict the 16th. I just thought that was an incredible story. And again, that comes to us through the Catholic News Agency. Well, so please pray for this family, Danny and Lila Abdallah. And their attitude is just so inspiring. There's not a trace of bitterness. There's a video interview that is kind of linked to the story, and you don't see any bitterness. You still see somehow joy in their lives. And this, again, can only come about through the power of God. And do take her advice to heart, what she said. On this earth, while we're living, enjoy every moment. Hug your family tight. Kiss your kids. Don't take anything for granted, because anything can change in the blink of an eye. And she knew that full well. When we come back, we're going to take a short break now on the Cale Clark Show. But when we come back, we're going to look at a biblical book that has to do with suffering and the suffering of the innocent, the suffering of the righteous. It's the book of Job. We have some questions about it. We also have some answers for you coming up next on the Cale Clark Show on Relevant Radio.